your plan for me is right. And I need you to fulfill your purpose in my life.
I submit.
Coming to you again, Lord, here I am. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Give it all to you. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Give it all to you. Coming to you again, Lord, here I am. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Give it all to you. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Give it all to you. Give it all to you. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. Give it all to you.
It is good to be back with you, and certainly it's a joy to see those that we have had the privilege of being a part of their lives in ministry in years gone by, and it's good to be back with you tonight. And I want to thank you for your faithful support. When we left here in 2000, I don't know what date we were here, but we went to Germany in 2006. And planted a new church on the east side of Kaiserslautern, Germany. And they're in the Sembach area. We started in a hotel meeting room. And then after the church was blessed for some period of time, we started looking for a building that we could use for church. And it was a little difficult. We looked at some office buildings, but the people in the office buildings didn't want us there. They didn't want a church in those areas. And really, that was a great closed door, by the way, because we didn't need problems with neighbors. And the way it was arranged, it wouldn't work out. And so we just kept looking. Years and years ago, when I pastored up in the Wiesbaden area and other areas of Germany, we would drive down to Kaiserslautern. In those days, the A63 wasn't finished all the way to K-Town, and so you had to cut through there by Mellingen and Sembach. And we always drove by that building on the left. At that time, it was called Sembach Bible Church, and it years and years ago had been Sembach Bible Baptist Church. But as things happen and as leadership changes and philosophy changes and those kinds of things change, it always said we on their sign, Sembach Bible Church, a church with Baptist roots. Why did it say we're a Baptist church? And by the way, the reason I'm a Baptist is by conviction. Biblical truth, it's important. And so they were doing what every evangelical church eventually does. And by the way, it is really true that if you entertain people, that's all you're doing.
Right.
You're entertaining. And you're not really building anybody. And you're not building them up in the most holy faith, nor are you discipling them like God intends for you to do. By the way, that is the Great Commission. Right. Go into all the world and teach all nations, then baptize them, then teach them all things.
Right.
That means make disciples. That means people who will go out and make a difference where they are, where God has given their sphere of influence, and so go out and make a difference. Now, that takes more time, and maybe not as thrilling, and not as entertaining, and not as exciting. But when you do God's work, you have God's provision, and you have God. You do it God's way, and you have God's blessing in doing that.
Right.
So when we started finding the building, we found this building. We used to drive by that and say, this sure be good if it could become a Baptist church again. I don't know if you know where that building was. It was in Mellingen.
No, I was in Belgium.
You're in Belgium. You're in Spain. You're in Germany for a while up at Eiffel, weren't you? And so we just said to ourselves a lot of times, it sure be great if that become a Baptist church again. And so what happened was, there was a man there as an interim pastor. Now, the church had about five families or six families left. And they had paid their pastor full time, but they'd run out of funds. They'd run out of all of their money, and they didn't have any more money to pay him. And so they told him, we can't pay you anymore. And so he had to leave. And he was a John MacArthurite anyway, and you understand where that's at and what elder rule. But so you had in that church, you had a lot of chiefs and no Indians. And so they decided they would meet with us, and on that their committee of people, which by the way only had six of them, so six family members, six one from each family, was on that what we call a pulpit committee, and one of them hated Independent Baptists, and another one didn't like them much at all. And guess what? Both of them are women. Interesting. But anyhow, We met with them because the guy who was the interim pastor years ago down in Torjon, Spain, helped us get, in those days when it was right, an Awana Club started. And so he's filling in for him. And in his heart, he's saying, you know, I really like for this to be a Baptist church again. His wife said, well, I kind of like it like it is. But that's what he wanted. And so he said, I want you to meet them. I want you to sit down and talk with them and see what happens. And so we got together with these folks, and we're able to wisely work through the details to be able to come together in that building in September of 2007. And by that time, the little group of people that we had wasn't very large because we just had a meeting room we were meeting in, and they didn't have very many people. And so we said, we'll come together. Both churches are going to have to vote to come together, and we'll call it once again what it was before, Sembach Bible Baptist Church. And so they agreed to vote, and they voted, and the vote was enough for them to come together with us. And I told them, I said, now, when we establish this new church, it's going to be a Baptist church, So we're going to do it the Bible way. That means you have to be saved. You have to be scripturally baptized. You have to agree with the doctrine of a local New Testament Baptist church in order to join it. I said, okay. And so one of the families joined and later on realized they'd made a big mistake. And he went on and tried to start his own evangelical church. The other ones didn't join. They just watched us work. We had a building that just needed a lot of work and fix it up. And we had a team come from the States to help us fix it up. And they just watched us for about 6 months. Never joined at all. Now, I had two of them say to me later on, one of them was there just a little while, and he was the treasurer of the church, and he PCS'd away. But before he did that, he said to me, he said, now, and by the way, in the summer of 2006, I went and preached for them in their church building. And I said, now, and at that time, they had, you know, all the drums and all that kind of stuff up front, no pulpit. And I said, now, when we come, I'm going to preach out of the King James. I'm going to get a pulpit up there. We're going to have a piano that plays, and we're going to do it my way. Is that okay? And they said, okay. So I preached for them, this Bible church, on that Sunday in the summertime of 2006. And the treasurer said to me a whole year later, he said, I knew you were the man for the church. But we had to work through some things. Because when you have a lot of chiefs and no Indians, all the chiefs have some opinions. And they have some sort of tie to that. They think it belongs to them. Now, no church belongs to any man. If it's the right kind of church, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, they finally disappeared one Sunday in February and never came back. And we inherited a building with pew chairs, a professional sound system, a pulpit, and it looked like a funeral parlor. So we went busy in 8 days, turned that funeral parlor into a place of light. I like light because Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
Darkness doesn't picture Christ. You walk into a church, and I'm kind of meddling here, but you walk into a church that it feels like you're in an area where some kind of performance is going to take place. That bothers me a great deal. I like light. And so we put in a drop ceiling. The walls were not they were not insulated, so we tore all the walls off, not the brick wall, the stone wall, but the inside walls, and insulated it, and then put up new sheetrock and painted it and fixed it up, and a lot of hard work for about 8 or 10 of us in 1 week, or there about 8 days, they turned that funeral parlor into a place of light.
Amen.
And we didn't have very many people, though. We just had a few. Sunday night services, we were in one of the Sunday school classrooms, had 9 people. One Sunday night, I will remember that. And we wondered, well, we're going to do our part, but we sure pray that God will do His. And by the way, you do things God's way, and He will do His part. And His part is done by His grace and His power. It's wonderful to watch what God can do if we do our part. And so we got a couple families came in. By the way, do you know that any time a New Testament church is trying to do the will of God, the work of God, that there are going to be people come in who have other ideas in mind.
Amen.
And they're not a blessing to the church.
Amen.
And you have to deal with that. And that's difficult to deal with, especially when you need help. But you don't need that kind of help.
Amen.
You don't need somebody that's doctrinally different than you, or somebody that has an idea that you know that the ministry is theirs and they don't need any oversight. Boy, what a mistake. I don't know whoever gave people that idea, but God gave the responsibility of the pastor. One of the responsibilities is to oversee.
Amen.
He has responsibility before God, see what's going on. Make sure it's done right. Make sure it honors and glorifies the Lord, because what takes place in this place is not about your ministry or my ministry. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being honored. His name is the most important name. And so we had to get beyond that. And oh, frustrating. Oh, my. I mean, say some of our people, I don't know what God's up to. What God was up to, He was getting the church ready to bring great blessings. And He did that by His grace. And it got to the point where we had in 2012 440 first-time visitors.
Amen.
Well, that's a lot of people to call back on. We decided we would take home-baked chocolate chip cookies to every family that visited us. Well, that's a lot of delivery. But it immediately broke down the wall between us and the people, and God began to just send people in. So to the point that we had numbers of days where we were over 200, and God really blessed the church. It got to be where God's grace was working in such a way that people walking in the back door before they ever met a person knew something special was happening there. That's what you want God to do. And only He can do that. And by the way, He's able to do that by His grace. And so you say you're going to get to the Bible? Yeah, it's up here on the podium. But I really wanted to encourage you tonight because way back in, well, let's go to Philippians. But I thought the fact that way back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when David is smitten, he caught up with the Amalekites and smote them, and some of his troops were so weary that they couldn't go on. And so when they defeated the Amalekites and got everything back, and they're on the way back, and they come back to where the 200 are, some of the men of Belial, those who went with David, verse 22, said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered." This is in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 22. "And that we have recovered, saved every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. And then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." Back in Philippians chapter 4, great verses that you know quite well. In verse 19, he said to that New Testament church, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I want to tell you tonight that when the day comes that we stand before our Savior and we answer for how we've run our race, I'm going to tell you there are people sitting in churches like this who are faithful to give, to tithe, and then above their tithe, to give to Faith Promise Missions so that missionaries can go to the fields that they go to. And by the way, that missionary is responsible for what he received to do it, use it wisely, and use it to honor God. But God will bless the people who do the giving.
Right.
And I think heaven will record the fact that some of the greatest blessings and some of the greatest honors and rewards will come to those who gave. Because they gave with a kind of heart. Because they love God. They were like the Macedonian church believers who first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that's what God wants from us. Well, that church in Germany began to grow. And when you get a church going, you want to get involved in missions. So we started having some mission conferences. And the first real mission conference year we had $27,000 promised. The next year it was $55,000, and the next year it was $108,000. Now I want to tell you that the whole time you've got people coming and going.
Amen.
It's a constant rotation. The church, when we moved on to Okinawa because we believed the Lord wanted us to do that, we were running about 165 on Sunday morning, about 125 on Sunday night, and about 110 or 15 on Wednesday night. And it was a wonderful church. I think back about the wonderful church in Spain in 1980s. I was a lot younger then, Ken. And probably not nearly as wise as I am tonight. But God was sure good to us. 472 people saved in 5 years. 347 of them baptized, because that is part of the Great Commission, to get them baptized. And then teach them. And then there are about 1,000 others who came saved, but really not wanting to serve God, who got with it, decided they'd serve the Lord. And so out of the 2,320 in those 5 years, at least 1,500 of them were able to see God do something real in their lives. That sounds like something that's worth supporting.
Amen.
Doesn't it?
That's right.
That kind of missions is something worth supporting. That means that since 2005 or 6, when you started supporting us, God has given you a great harvest just through one mission field. Let me tell you something. When we started giving to missions, started helping missionaries, and by the way, missionaries we could see, we could bring them in and support them all across Europe, and because we were in Europe, and there were some in other places, but we wanted missionaries who the people could see. And so, guess what happened to the general fund? But my God shall supply all you need, church, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we left there, the church had $300,000 in the bank. $100,000 short of being able to buy the property outright. Now, that came from people just like you and just like me who somehow had experienced the grace of God working in their life in every way. And one of those graces is the grace of giving. And God, by his grace, just began to enable, give us the desire and give us the power. By the way, we were doing our part. You know, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. I mean, we're going to go do what we're supposed to do, but if he doesn't do what he does, we're not going to get it done. But when he starts doing what only he can do, it is amazing. Got the call about considering Maranatha, a large church, been there a long time. The words spoken to us were, you have a lot of experience, and it's going to take a pastor and his wife to be equally committed to minister at a church of that size. We went out, preached for them. I preached 13 times in 16 days. She spoke 3 times to the ladies. We prayed about it. We didn't want to leave Heritage because it was a real special place. It was a place, and in fact, when Dr. Kennard called me, he said, I know he's not going to go. He's not going to leave Germany. He loved Germany too much. But I do love the Lord more than I love Germany.
Amen.
And that's what God wanted us to do. So we went out there. And God started doing some things that were amazing. I mean, we were talking in the first year and a half or 2 years about how we were going to be able to accommodate 600 drive-in people. 600 people driving in vehicles, not buses or vans. We were running vans to get GIs off of the Marines off of the camps to the north and to the south. But almost 95% of the people coming in were driving in. And we were trying to figure out how we're going to work this out where we can handle all those people. Because there was, and even the last months we were there, because we literally worked ourselves to death, although we're still living, for 4 years, going nonstop to try to do what God wanted us to do in that place. And the last, in the spring of 2016, beginning in the fall of 2015, we saw 40 straight weeks of people getting saved, baptized, and joining the church. 40 straight weeks. That's getting close to a year. God is still able.
Amen.
He is still able. By the way, that church, when you do things right financially and you love missions and you get involved in missions, when we came for a furlough, came away to get some rest, the church had $500,000 in the bank. Now, that sounds like a church that probably can support itself. Amen?
Amen.
Buildings are all paid for? It sounds to me like if you had all your buildings paid for and you had $500,000 in the bank, you probably could do a lot more. Amen? I don't know what you have. Maybe you have 495. I don't know what the situation is, but what I'm saying is, and by the way, this is people who are there for a little while, and then they're gone, and you have to find new ones. We started running 250 people on Sunday night, and then 220 of them PCS'd. Changed stations and moved on somewhere else. And we never quite got up to that level again after that. Because what is sadly true of people today, number one, they want entertainment. They want to pick and choose how they're going to serve. They want to have their own realm of authority with no oversight. They like a good performance, but they don't want challenged. And men are the number one to blame because they have not taken the biblical leadership God called them to take in leading their families for Christ. And by the way, whenever there's a vacuum in leadership, somebody will take the leadership, and it probably will not be the one God intended. So all of our ministry, we've been challenging people I'm challenging men to lead their families for Christ, to make a difference, to be a man of God. By the way, every church needs a lot of men of God who are standing. And by the way, their wife is not making the spiritual decisions. He's leading and they're talking about it and they're going forward together and they're raising their children in the ways of the Lord. He's a man of God. And by the way, when you're a man of God, God will give you a special grace and make your testimony powerful.
Amen.
And so since we were with you, no doubt, 5,000 or 6,000 people we've had come in contact with at least one time, and many of them, many more than that. Because out in Okinawa in 2015, we had 718 first-time visitors. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? That's military missions, military ministry. And today, there's not hardly anywhere we can go, but what we're going to run into somebody who is impacted by military missions.
Amen.
Years ago, when God put us at Torrejon, I had a preacher write me who was supporting me at that time and supporting us at that time, and he said, "I don't believe that's missions. So we're not going to support you anymore." Now here we were already on the field. I'm not going to support you anymore. Now, you know what I thought of him. I still remember. In fact, I talked to his best friend about it just last month, or last 2 or 3 weeks ago. I found out his best friend's a great guy, and I'm sure he's a great guy, too. But he had the attitude that a lot of churches used to have, and that was a chapel can do the job. But a chapel is a government service organization. A chapel has to allow Wiccans to have services. They have to provide whatever the people want. It is a government service organization. Now, I'm not against good chaplains who find wherever they're stationed a good church to put their family in, and they do their service to the military, but their commitment is to a local New Testament church, and they give to that church. And there are chaplains like that. Now, thank God for the chaplains who go downrange where there cannot be a church, who have the gospel with them and can give the gospel to the military who are downrange and harm's way. And God bless them. And thank the Lord for those who it is a calling for them, not a chosen profession. It is a calling in their life. And by the way, any military missionary is going to make a difference. It has to be a calling in their life. It cannot be that they decided to choose this profession. It must be a calling, because if it's not a calling, they'll give up and quit.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of challenges, but there's a ton of blessings. Now, I want to say to you tonight, then that means that this church, over the last 12 years, or so have God has put on your account a ton of fruit. You haven't met them yet, but you will one day.
Amen.
Because you gave. Now, by the way, your part is just as important as mine. And it'll go to your account, too. You know, we can tell the numbers. And the people are wonderful. And I thank the Lord for all of the families whose lives have been changed. But I just wanted to say to you, one of the reasons why I came, and I appreciate the invitation, I want to thank you for supporting us. We've done our dead level best to honor Christ, to go at 110%, and do all that we could, and then trust God to do what we could not do, and to pray fervently that He would do just that. And He has. And that's great. One of the greatest things in the world, one of the most important things you can ever do is invest your life in other people, because people have eternal souls and you can take them to eternity with you.
Amen.
When you give to missions and you support a missionary who has passion and who has a goal and a burden to make a difference where God has called them, that's the only kind I would support if I were you, then you, as you hear back from the field, and I know some places are slow and difficult, and that's part of it, and I understand Tucson is one of those kind of places. And I hear it quite often, but yet 1 million people here need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
And thank God you're here, and other churches are here trying to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say to you, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's see the presentation at this time. Can we do that? And then I'll just say a word or two more, and then we'll have an invitation. All right, so you're going to get to see a featured couple from All of This Is Worth It, and My God, But My God, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is able. What does He want from us? He wants us first. And then when He has us, we realize that everything we have, He gave to us. And so we want to honor Him with what He's given us, so we can make a difference in this world for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, because nothing else really matters all that much. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor to lead in the invitation. Father, thank You tonight for this church and their faithfulness, dear Lord, to support missions. Lord, they, these past 12 years, have supported a very fruitful field. And tonight, dear Lord, just like is here in this church, in many churches across America, and many missionaries around the world, their lives were impacted by a military ministry overseas, a local New Testament church outside of a military installation, preaching the gospel, baptizing people, and teaching them the Word of God. And what an amazing, amazing ministry it has been. And Lord, we thank You for this church has been a part of that. And there's so much fruit that's going to abound to their account for their giving. I pray, dear Lord, they'll never stop giving themselves to You and never stop giving to worldwide missions. And dear Lord, we pray Your blessing upon them. Bless the invitation time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, come in.
Well, thank you, Brother Kraft. I appreciate that testimony and blessing, and just sharing what God has done in the years of the military. And I tell you, if you've never been overseas to a military church, it is nothing like the States. It's totally different. It's a different thing. I heard someone mention when you're overseas, that is your family. That's true, because you can't come home and you can't go see a sister or brother. So the church family becomes your family. There were stretches where my wife and I didn't go home for 4 years. And the church family was the only ones that we saw, the only ones that we knew, and that we had fellowship with. And the military work becomes a very closely knit group of people. our military is changing now because of President Obama and some laws have been passed. It's totally different. And now, I believe more than ever, we need a military missions church outside the Air Force base, the Army post, or wherever, more now than ever because of the changes that are happening there in our military. Men are marrying men. Ladies are marrying ladies. It's totally acceptable now because of the laws that have been passed, and there's nothing that we can do. But I beg to differ. There is something we can do. We can support missionaries who can take the gospel because it's the gospel that's going to change people's lives, not the laws. Amen. It's going to be the gospel. And so it behooves us to continue investing in mission. You say, preacher, how much can I give? That's what you have to ask the Lord. Well, how much can I give? Well, what are you willing to give? And what are you willing to do? Let me share the figures with you again. I'm going to give us just a moment to pray over this. We serve right now 46 missionaries and missions agencies. And to do what we did last year, it's going to cost us $75,520. That's $1,453 a week. No one expects you to give all of that money. But collectively, little as much when God is in it. You give what God lays upon your heart. Next person give what God lays on their heart. Then it's up to God to bless what we give and make it do what it needs to do. So our goal is to just do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about the big picture. Overall, God's going to take care of that. But just do what God is calling you to do. Because that's the only thing you really can do. So as Miss Natasha plays here in just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to begin praying about what God wants you to do. You've seen these precious souls here over the last 12 years that we've been able to invest in because of what Brother and Sister Kraft have done there overseas and other places. And we want to be involved in that. Say, preacher, what do we get out of it? The knowledge that God is in control. I mentioned this morning, many people will never see that we've impacted by a missionary. We'll never see them. Just like the people that sent Brother T.J. Tilley to Belgium, I will never see those people. But guess what? I'll see them one day.
Amen.
I'll see them one day. And because of their sacrifice, my wife and I got saved in Belgium. And I don't even know those people. And they don't know me. I hadn't even met Brother Tilley at that time. And he was a missionary to start the church and turned it over to a local pastor. But one day I'm looking forward to going up to those people in heaven and saying, thank you for investing. I got saved because you gave. Amen. So think about what God wants you to give. And yes, children, you can give too. It doesn't matter how young you are. Just give. You know, give. God wants us all to be involved, and we all can be involved. And so think about that number that I just read to you. That's to continue doing what we are doing now, $1,453 a week, which is $75,520 for the year. And you pray and see what God wants you to do. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, bless now these next several moments of prayer. As we ponder and contemplate what you want us to do, what we see the slides, we see the people's lives that have been impacted. We see Pastor and Mrs. White right here. Some of us know Brother and Sister Sugar. Some of us know some of the other people that were listed up there on the video. Lord, it's all because of missions. It's above our tithe. It's not the tithe. It's not the offerings. It's a special offering that we give for missions to be blessed by you. And Lord, as we hollow out in our mind and our hearts what you want us to do, help us, Lord, to be in tune and in touch with the grace of God, Lord, and give through us to keep our missionaries on the field and continue to see you work in a marvelous way. We talked about the grace of God, Lord, how you were rich, but yet you became poor for our sakes, that we, through Christ's poverty, might become rich. And Lord, as we have become rich in glory and we have received eternal life, help us now to be a part of giving back just a portion of our funds so that others can get that same saving knowledge of Jesus Christ given to them by missionaries who you've already called, already prepared their hearts to go to a people that they know not of, to give them the gospel. So help us, Lord, to pray about what you want us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed as Miss Natasha plays. If you want to come down to an old-fashioned altar, the altar is open. You can kneel at the altar. You can pray right where you're at. But think about what God wants you to do. Children can give. Singles can give. Teenagers can give. Adults can give. Families can give. We give so that others can go. We give so that others can gain the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give so that people can be saved. You saw the many, many members that have been saved as a result of military missions. Oh, there's so many, many more that can be saved. I think just back to this one church, if the church in Belgium had not have been there, then I would not be here, which means this church would not be here, which means that many of the people that came through these doors would not be saved. So it is worth it. It is worth it. If just one soul gets saved, it's worth it. Two souls got saved this morning. It's worth it. A place to serve, a place to worship, a place to minister. Not just military missions, but missions to the local nationals in Africa, in China, in the Philippines, in Australia, in Iceland, in Greenland, in Russia. All these places need missionaries. Oh yes, the military is a needy, needy field. But those are Americans. But other nations need the gospel too. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our military are fortunate enough to be in positions where they can get the gospel and reach the nationals there as well. We saw many Europeans saved through our ministry in Belgium. But what does God want you to do? What will He do with us? Preacher, I don't have much. Last time I checked, Lord Jesus Christ took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and fed 5,000. Doesn't take a whole lot when it's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time I checked, He took 7 and 2 loaves, fed 4,000. Preacher, I don't have much. It doesn't take a whole lot. But it does take something. It takes a sacrifice. Maybe it takes a giving out of your abundance, but it does take giving. And praise God for what we've seen, and praise God what we look forward to seeing. You know, some of the greatest sending churches of missionaries are some of the smallest churches because they have a heart for missions and a heart for God. And so the size of the church doesn't matter. The heart of the church matters. Having a heart for God, a heart for Jesus, a heart for missions, a heart for the lost. Missionaries waiting to be sent. Let's pray about doing our part. Let's get in the stewardship and abide in the ship. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have of joining you, Lord, and being co-laborers with Christ and being able to give. Lord, we can't go to all nations. We can't go to the Samarias and to the uttermost parts of the earth, but you have missionaries like Brother and Sister Kraft ready to go. Lord, as a result of them going, we see fruit that abounds and remains. Lord, help us to continue to be fervent about what you want us to do. And then, Lord, be stirred to do it. And Lord, I pray over the next couple weeks as we pray and contemplate and see what you want us to do and or look at what you've done with our lives and what you want us to do. Help us to be wise stewards. Lord, help us remember this is not the tithe nor the offering that we give, but this is a special offering set aside for the cause of Christ and for souls to go outside of this ministry to reach people for Christ, not to be intertwined with our general fund, but to go to reach people, to send missionaries to lands where the gospel may not be preached as widely as it is known here. Lord, we even think of America. We're a needy mission field ourselves. There are many that need to be surrendered to preach even right here in this great land of America. But Lord, do reach our military and do reach around the world through our missions. Thank you for the 46 missionaries and agencies that we support and what we have been able to see through their lives. Some have come off the field. They've changed status as far as marriage. But thank you for those presently that are still out there. And we do praise you. Thank you for what you've done and your goodness and your grace in our lives. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you have already done through this mission. This missionary, Brother Kraft, and his dear wife. And Lord, we do pray there's one tonight without Jesus Christ that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior and understand that that's what this is all about. getting the gospel to men, women, boys, and girls. And maybe there's a young person here, or maybe an adult here, or maybe there's a family here that needs to be saved, and maybe they need to surrender to missions, whatever the call is. Lord, work on their lives and continue to press upon them the great need for missions. And we do thank you and love you for meeting our need tonight. Lord, your word says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Continue to help us to do things your way and see your blessings. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Pastor White's going to come up and give us our closing announcements, and then we're going to be dismissed here.